The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
When I watch TV shows, see the memes, and scroll through social media, it seems like everyone everywhere is saying motherhood is inconvenient. Motherhood is dysfunctional. Motherhood is a chain. Motherhood is no personal time. Motherhood is giving up on my dreams. But all these messages leave out that motherhood is beautiful, connected, life-giving, nurturing, listening, persevering, meaningful, tender, strong, and true. Motherhood is hard, for sure. But from the moment you hear your child's heartbeat through every season, motherhood is, and always will be, worth it.
Hello, and welcome. You're listening to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We aim to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. My co-host, Remmel Tenney, is off this week. I'm Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We have a terrific interview ahead, but first, this update. The thing I miss most is her smile. September sparks a number of memories for me. Her birthday, which my father, my sister, and I would celebrate with abandon. The back-to-school shopping, which would yield new school uniforms and coats for the coming winter. But most of all, I remember the day of her death. I was in my office when I received the call. After a bout of what was presumed to be bladder cancer, she was too frail for a biopsy. My beloved mother was gone. I called a friend who agreed to accompany me as I broke the news to my sister. It was the hardest message I ever had to deliver. It was so ironic that my mother passed away 2 days before her birthday. It made me think of the circle of life and how my mother had completed it with grace, dignity, and strength. She was a fighter to the end. She had had plenty of practice. When she was carrying me in her womb, her employer let her go because of her pregnancy. She fought doubts and fears and financial catastrophe to bring me into the world. My baby sister was born prematurely and lived in an incubator for the first days of her life. While many people counted my sister out, my mother believed that she would overcome the scary circumstances of her birth and survive, and she did. I owe so much to my mother, who showed such courage during her two unplanned pregnancies. I owe her my life. So the tears will come this September, but they will be mixed with the joy of believing that my mother is finally home with the Lord. And now to our guest. The Pennsylvania March for Life steps off on Monday, September 23rd. It draws people from throughout the Commonwealth who are committed to rebuilding a culture of life. Eric Failing of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference joins us now to discuss the march. Welcome, Eric, to Positively Pro-Life.
Oh, Maria, thank you so much. Thanks for having me back on.
My pleasure. Now, what is the theme of this year's PA March for Life?
So, you know, it's a good question. I don't know if there's, you know, an official theme, but I think the overall theme for every March for Life is the same, right? It's to do exactly what you just led off with. It's to promote a culture of life. You know, obviously the Catholic Church's position is all life needs to be treated with dignity and respect and safeguarded from conception to natural death. So that's for us, that's the theme anytime we talk about life.
Why do you think that people should make the effort to come to the state capitol for the rally and the march?
So you're asking, I guess I can answer that under two hats. One is executive director for the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, representing the Catholic bishops. The other is a policy and government geek, I guess you could call me. So look, I think everybody should come to this march because it is the truest expression of democracy. Right. We have a right to peacefully assemble and to address our government. It's the way our system was designed. It's the way our system works. And anytime I see groups come to the Capitol to do that, it makes me happy. It shows that people are paying attention, that people want to get involved. It sends a message to legislators and to staffers up on the Hill that, look, here's a group of people that have gathered because this is an important issue to them. And they want us to pay attention to it. So the March for Life in Harrisburg, you know, I've been doing this in and around the political arena for, my goodness, a little over 30 years now. Yes, I just dated myself pretty severely. It's the largest, these March for Life rallies are the largest I've ever seen in Harrisburg. Fill in the blank with the issue. Nobody has come close to the number of people that show up for these. So show up, be an active participant in your government and tell legislators what you think. Tell them what you feel. I mean, my mother, God rest her soul, and I've said this to other groups before, my mother would never allow us kids to complain about anything unless we tried to work to fix whatever it was that we didn't like. That was the rule of the house, you know, kind of a thing. And I've always tried to carry that forward. And I've always told people, look, if you love everything about what's going on in government right now, stay home. You're fine. Everything's good. If you're not, if you have a problem with something, if you think they need to pay more attention to an issue, then you need to show up. Show up, make the phone calls, make the emails, schedule the meetings. But this March for Life is a wonderful opportunity to join with a whole bunch of like-minded people and call for attention and protection for life.
And who will be the key speakers at this event?
So Mark Hawk, he's a pro-life activist and co-founder and president of the Kingsmen. I know he is scheduled to speak at it. I believe Michael Gear from the Pennsylvania Family Institute will be speaking. Jeannie Mancini, who's president for the March for Life Education Defense Fund. And I would be remiss if I didn't throw out a big shout out to somebody else who will be up on stage, and that's Archbishop Nelson Perez. Wonderful guy. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss or one of my bosses, but he will be up on stage as well to give a closing prayer. So
what are some of the things that we'd like to see change in PA as far as the life issue is concerned?
Sure. You know what? This may get into some stuff we may want to talk about later on with the PCC. So the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, where I work, we're the official public relations firm for the state. I one of the lobbyists for the church. You know, and I think sometimes the word lobbyist gets a bad name attached to it. But when we lobby for the church, you know, we reach out to both sides of the aisle. We reach out not just the legislators, but the staffers, because what we're really doing is we're interacting one soul at a time, right? So what are some of the things we would like to change? We want to make sure that everybody in Pennsylvania is treated with love, dignity, and respect throughout their existence, you know, from conception to natural death. You know, abortion is such a politically charged issue. And it's sad that it is that, right? Because I think what we're really talking about is why are people having abortions in 2024? What is compelling them to do? What is going wrong? What are they afraid of? What can we do to alleviate any fears or concerns to make an abortion unthinkable? Right. It's not a question of whether it's an option or not. It's really more of an issue of, well, why would you do that? What do you need so you don't feel that way? They don't feel like you have to have one. Are you Are you concerned about childcare? Are you concerned about job? Are you concerned about money? Are you concerned about support? I mean, what is going on? And what can we all do to help?
Absolutely. What is the most exciting part of the march for you?
Oh, for me, hands down, it's the number of people. Hands down. I love seeing, and again, it goes back to the political geek in me. I love seeing a peaceful group of people come together to advocate on an issue that's important to them. Just to see that many people come forward, they're excited, they're polite, right? this is not an angry mob kind of a thing, but peacefully gather and say, look, we think there's a better way. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's great to see. And quite frankly, I think we need to see more, peaceful groups get together, and talk to legislators and talk to staffers about issues of importance.
What is PCC engaged with these days?
Oh, everything. Everything, right? So, you know, like I said before, our mission is to make sure that everybody's treated with love, dignity, and respect. So that encompasses so many different areas: poverty, homelessness, hunger, pro-life issues, obviously, education, combating human trafficking, which is just a scourge that has just exploded in the state, and it's just prolific. Anytime somebody needs help, anytime somebody needs assistance, criminal justice reform, making sure children are safe and protected when they go on the internet or social media. I mean, these are all issues, you know, that we're working on, that are important to the love, respect, and dignity of all life.
What is your hope for Pennsylvania as far as the life issue is concerned?
I think what I touched on earlier, that we can come together as a society and forget about the political party for just a second, that we can come together as a society, as a group of people, and say, what can we do to help everybody else? Right. Not what's best for me, not what I can do for me. What can I do for you? So we can approach life and the issues surrounding life from an area of support, so that we can support these young moms, these young families, that we can rally around. You know, I grew up, my mother always used to say, you know, take a village to raise a child, I think was what she said, or something like that. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we doing that more? So I would just love to see people come together, just drop the anger, turn that anger level down, and let's be constructive. Let's find ways and common ground and commonality that we can all work together to help promote life.
What has been the response of lawmakers to the march?
Oh, it's been huge. Every year that we've done this, it's so I'm usually over by the side of the stage. When the march happens, and you know, the Catholic bishops are there as well with me, and it's like there's a large staging area that a lot of the politicians will go into, the legislators will go into before they typically will go up on stage. I mean, it's just a massive gathering of legislators, and it's impressive to see. It's impressive to see that many legislators come out for an event.
You talked earlier about all the different things that PCC is involved in. And I'm wondering, why is the life issue so important to PCC?
Because it's a fundamental issue for the church. It's a fundamental issue for the faith. Love, dignity, and respect of life is everything to us. You know, without it, there's, what is there? So it goes right to the golden rule. So it is just of preeminent importance. It goes into every single issue, and it's something that the church will always put in the foreground, at the forefront of everything that we do, of everything that we tackle.
Do you expect there to be a number of young people attending this event?
From what I understand, there's going to be buses of them coming in. So we always have young people. It's great to see. You know, I've seen everything from you know, little babies being pushed in strollers. But it's really, which is wonderful, you know, wonderful. I always get very excited to see the high school and the college kids, though. It's great to see them come. It's great to see them excited. It's great to see them advocating for helping others, you know, for life, for trying to find a better way. I love to see the young folks get involved in the political arena, in the government arena to begin with. But just to see them champion this topic and learn more about this topic, right? Because to me, and certainly to the church, education is so critical on any issue. But drop the rhetoric, research the issue, learn what's really happening out there, learn what really needs to change, always with an eye towards how can we make people's lives better, right? How can we help the other rather than concentrating on the self? How can we help the other?
You talked about education, and I'm thinking that the march is also a tool for educating members of the news media, sure, about the issue, who may not be well informed despite the fact that they might cover the issue every day.
Sure. Look, and you're talking to somebody who used to carry a press badge right? And covered the Capitol. I covered, yes, government and politics for over a decade. I liken the media, and I often will say that a reporter is very much like a legislator, in the sense that legislators are asked to respond and vote on every issue imaginable under the sun, right? That's a tall order. That's a very, very tall order to ask anybody to become the subject matter expert of everything, which is why we have lobbyists, right? That's why we have advocates and why we have activists. And it's critical to bring legislators up to speed on topics they may not fully understand or grasp. And you can't expect them to know everything about everything. But it's the exact same thing with reporters. Reporters are asked to report on, oftentimes, especially ones up at the Capitol, every issue under the sun. And you cannot expect them to know everything or to be the experts on everything. It takes a lot of time to become educated. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to help them with that, to give them the real facts, to talk to them about what's really going on, and to talk to them about how we feel. Right? I always tell folks when they come up to me or they're getting ready to go talk to a legislator or a staffer, they say, well, you know, I know so-and-so is against me on this issue and it just makes me so angry. And I always try to tell them, you know, whether you're talking to a reporter or a legislator or a staffer, they may not agree with you, but maybe they don't agree with you because they don't understand. Right. And we are called upon as the church, to not get angry back, to be patient, to be loving, to be kind, to find that common ground with everybody, develop those relationships, and love them into the church, you know, love them into the belief. And that's what we're all called to do every day, right, as Catholics. So it certainly doesn't change when we go up to the Capitol.
And I know that I used to work as a reporter as well, and yeah, I was very misinformed about the whole issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. And it only came about through reading the Gospel of Life, yep, and other pro-life publications that I became informed about the pro-life issue. And once I became informed, I knew the truth and I couldn't hide from the truth anymore. And I think, right, that people need to recognize that a lot of these individuals may be terribly misinformed about the life issues. And it's up to us to be that bridge of understanding for them.
It is. It absolutely is. I remember one legislator in particular, this was many, many years ago, who, when I went to visit this legislator, said, you know, I'm pro-choice. And I said, okay. And he said, you're not angry? I said, well, of course I'm not angry. I mean, I don't agree, but I'm not angry. And he said, well, okay. All right. Why are you pro-life? And I said, well, let me tell you what pro-life means to me. And we had a very good conversation, I thought. And, He said, well, you've given me a lot to think about. And I, a couple weeks later, saw him again, and he had a question. And, okay. So he asked me the question about some pro-life issues. And he said, okay, well, I didn't know that. A few weeks after that, he called me and actually yelled at me because somebody had been in his office yelling at him. He said, you know, these pro-lifers just coming in and yell at me. And I said, well, I'm sorry they yelled at you. I mean, nobody should be yelling at you, much less screaming at you. What were they saying? And he told me, and I said, well, honestly, that's partially correct. So let me tell you the, you know what, you know. So he went, oh, okay, well, that actually makes more sense. So fast forward about a year, I sent out an invitation to him to a pro-life banquet. And he accepted. I was stunned. And I saw him at the reception, and he said, you didn't think I'd come. I said, honestly, no, I didn't, but I thought I'd reach out to you and give you the invite. And he said, well, you know what? I figured we've been talking about it for a while. Let me hear what they have to say. It's the least I can do. I said, okay. He was one of the very last people to walk out of the room. I actually had to say, honestly, they're pulling tablecloths at this point. We have to go. He is now pro-life, and always votes pro-life. That has nothing to do with me. I'm not saying look what Eric did, because it's not. I can tell you for a fact it's not me, but I do believe it was the Holy Spirit. I do believe this is a gentleman who learned more, who researched, who was willing to listen. Not at first, but eventually willing to listen, and the Holy Spirit opened his heart so that he could learn the truth. You know, he received that wisdom, that knowledge, that counsel from the Holy Spirit, and it changed him. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing when that happens. So be patient, right? Be patient with others, as my pastor always tells me, Eric, be patient. Okay. We love him into the church. We love him into the culture of life.
And the other thing too is that I think people unfortunately think that they're going to get instantaneous conversions from lawmakers or from news media, and that is very rare that there is that instantaneous conversion. What we do is we try to plant seeds.
Yep.
And those seeds may blossom a week from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, we don't know, but they'll blossom in time, and that person may come to realize the truth of the pro-life stand.
Yeah. I mean, my son's 27 years old. I've obviously known my wife for many, many decades. I haven't had the opportunity to have her come around to the fact that I really need a brand new fishing boat. And I've known that woman for decades. Why would we think that we can walk up to a total stranger and get them to go, oh, okay, now I get it, and instantly turn around? It's not going to happen. It may happen, but it's unusual. So like you say, we plant the seed. Plant the seeds.
Yeah. And what do you hope that the marchers will come away with from this event?
I hope they come away, and I say this every time I see people at the Capitol or I talk to people who are going up to the Capitol. I hope to come away with hope. I hope they come away with a feeling of peace, that they did the right thing for the right reason in the right way. And they say a prayer that those seeds were planted in fertile ground and will yield fruit. But most of all, hope. Because that's what we do. I mean, that's what we do as Christians, right? We pray and we hope, and we have faith that everything is going to work out, because let's face it, we're not in control. God's in control. It's not my responsibility to make somebody believe this way or that way. It's my responsibility, like you said, to plant the seeds and to be a faithful witness of the gospel and the way of life of the gospel. So that's what we do. I hope people come. They have a good time. And they walk away with a prayer on their lip and hope in their hearts.
Absolutely. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I'm wondering if people want to learn more about the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and about you, where can they go? What should they do?
No, I don't know why they want to learn more about me. just an old political guy. In all seriousness, pacatholic.org is our website. We have an X account as well. But if you go on there, you'll find out all of our social media channels. Al Ganoza is our director of communications. He does a radio show, a regular radio show. You can tune into that. All that information's up on the website. I invite everybody to go and check us out.
And I have to mention the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation will also be on the scene at the March for Life. We hope to post on social media as well, PCC. And in case you are not able to attend the event, you should be able to follow it on X and on Facebook and on Instagram. So we're very excited about it. It's a phenomenal event. And I think that once you have been to a March for Life, you obviously will never forget it. It will stay with you for many years to come. And you'll be strengthened for the task ahead. And we do face challenges ahead, don't we?
Oh, we do. Many, many challenges. Many challenges. But don't give up hope. Things may look bleak. A lot of, especially now with the election coming up, there's so many people I talk to who are just depressed. And I always say, well, don't be depressed. You know, have hope. Get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if we stand on the sidelines, yes, nothing good will happen. But if we get involved, get engaged, talk to lawmakers, educate, talk to the media, write those letters to the editor, post on social media, we can bring about change and change for the better.
Amen.
So, Eric Failing of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, it's been a pleasure having you on Positively Pro-Life today.
Oh, thank you again for asking me back. It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. I love seeing and working alongside of you up at the Capitol. So I know we'll see each other soon.
We will indeed. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thank you for joining us for the program today. It would not be the same without you. We are grateful for your continuing support and encouragement. And remember, there is always a reason to choose life.